All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
Welcome back to the Labyrinth of the First Gen. And this week we are going to continue the conversation with Colectivo Elaine, which is an organization that does anti-racism work in Puerto Rico. And last week we had a discussion with them about what are some of the projects and campaigns that they are actively working on in Puerto Rico. And today we're going to continue that conversation to learn more about the work that they do around organizing the Black identity on the US-based census in Puerto Rico, and also other work that they are currently doing to make an impact in Puerto Rico. Here is a snippet of this week's episode. This is Mayra, who is the programmatic director at Colectivo ILE.
I think that's my calling here. And also because I recognize that the things that I'm doing today is going to have an impact 7 generations after. And that's an understanding that we also have practiced as an anti-racist practice. I think that's a gift that we can receive, but also that's a gift that we can give to the future generations.
This is season 2 of Labyrinth of the First Gen, where we will hear the stories and the wisdom of leaders of African descent to learn more about how they are creating paths and breaking barriers across Central America and the Caribbean. This is Labyrinth of the First Gen, where we are pioneers just by simply existing. Kimberly highlighted that the context of what was going on during 2020 at the time in Puerto Rico and as well as with the Black Lives Matter movement, that it had a huge influence on really the work that they were doing at the time. And it was important to acknowledge how racial violence and discrimination and prejudice also affected the day-to-day of Puerto Ricans as U.S. citizens as well.
Also, for this one at 2020, we have a very special context. It was in the middle of the pandemic. It was in the middle of earthquakes. It was in the middle of our recuperation or our restoration of Hurricane Maria. It was like a lot of things happening. I remember receiving a person from the census 3 times at my house asking me the same question. So how do I know that my answer is correct or is not 3 times over there? I don't know.
Kimberly highlighted that the context of what was going on during 2020 at the time in Puerto Rico and as well as with the Black Lives Matter movement, that it had a huge influence on really the work that they were doing at the time. And it was important to acknowledge how racial violence and discrimination and prejudice also affected the day-to-day of Puerto Ricans as U.S. citizens as well.
I think that political context affects the results, but also we need to recognize that people, after what happened, I mean, I will also say not only Hurricane Maria or the earthquakes or the pandemic, but also George Floyd, Breonna Taylor. You know, Doug says those events in Puerto Rico, it makes a click. And people understood like a lot of things like that. That happens here every day. The thing is that we don't call it that way. We don't call it like a racial matter. We call it like police brutality. But police brutality against who? That's the question. And I think after those events, they were terrible. People also understood that can happen to every one of us. And also people started to identify themselves as Afro-descendants and not white anyways, or not exclusively white, because you can mark the three of them. It's not only one.
He highlighted the impact of the census campaign and what it meant for the difference in statistics between the census that people took before and how people began to self-identify as an Afro-descendant in the 2020 census.
And people started to make changes in the way they answered the census, and that provoked a really great change in the statistics. We changed I think it was 17% of people that identify themselves as Black against the 10 that we had before. And also the people that identify themselves as only white degrades like a lot, like in a really huge amount. So I think that's a victory for us. And I mean, we still seeing the changes or the repercussions that brought to us, but we also are working with education. I mean, there is a recognition of the Department of Education that the anti-racist education is important and it's a necessity. I will say that was something that happened 5 years ago from now, you know. And I think that's part of the campaign too. Also,
Kimberly talked about how it was so important to have community support when doing this campaign and the successes that they had from the campaign was a result of that.
I think it was very successful because we have the endorsement of around 40 organizations with their logos and everything. And that was beautiful. And I think we could connect like a lot of other oppressions with race. And that's something that people need to understand, because in Puerto Rico, there's a lot of people that think that the issue is about class. And it's not the same. I mean, they can get together a lot. We know that. But what happens with the case is that you can have all the money you want, but you don't even understand how you cannot access to any maybe simple service as health. So I think that's some of the other topics that we could address with the campaign. And also we continue doing the work because there's another census coming and we've been hearing a lot of crazy things about the questions that are going to be in that new document. So we need to be really awake and really waiting what will happen, but also ready for how to answer that.
Yes, I learned so much just now. And something that comes up that I'm really interested in hearing, especially with doing the work that you do, have you had any like pushback? What has been like challenges around the work that you do?
Well, the first challenge is doing anti-racist work in a country that denies racism. That's the biggest, because it happens also in Brazil. The racial democracy myth in Puerto Rico is very current. People say, how can Puerto Rico be a racist country? Because we are mixed. But as Kimberly was saying, what parts of that mix I cherish and which parts I deny, you know? And that's racism, ladies and gentlemen. So that's the first. The second is related to the census work we have been doing for the last 20 years, is that the working around the term race, for many people, that's problematic. We do the work about race, as Kimberly was saying, as a political statement, because we know there's no biological meaning to race, to the term race. It's socially constructed, but we always say, as long as there is racism, we need to talk about race. And that's a critique we have been receiving from other people, academics, other people that does anti-racist work. But we need to talk about race. We need to talk about race because we live in a racist country and we live in a institutionalized racist society. So we need to talk about race as a political statement. And third, I would say sustainability. We are not alone. We, Colectivo Ley, is not the only organization in Puerto Rico that wants to eradicate racism and does anti-racist work. But we know that the organizations that work with Black folks and that are led by Black women are the least funded.
We are going to take a quick break and we will continue when we return. This is the Labyrinth of the First Gen. This season on the Labyrinth of the First Gen, we want to continue the discussion with you. So after the show, please join us on our Facebook group called Labyrinth of First Gen, where we will continue the discussion of this episode. We want to hear more from our audience. We want to hear what are some things that you learned, what are some things that surprised you, or if you know any more about this topic, we will also love to hear your feedback. I will add the link to the Facebook discussion group in the description of the show. And we are back. And as Maida said, part of really thinking about the mission of Colectivo ILE is being also selective around partnering organizations and making sure that it is also aligned with their mission.
And we have been, I wouldn't say lucky, but we have been very adamant and very rigorous in partnering with organizations that get us. You know, we are a very particular organization and we strive to be the colonial. We strive to do things different. We're not corporate. We're not a traditional organization. We are a group of women, Afro-descendant women, that want to eradicate racism in a colony called Puerto Rico. And that's very particular. And we are very serious about our ways and we love our country and we have a dream of seeing other and another way of living, another way of doing the anti-racist work. And we don't negotiate our ways in order to have funding, for example. Some foundations want us to assume some practices that we don't want to do because those are white supremacist practices. So that's a struggle. We have been blessed with foundations and partners that gets us respect our work. We have been doing this for 30 years. So they respect our work. They believe Black women, and that's very important. And believe that Black women have the power and the knowledge to do the work and do it well.
Might I emphasize some of the barriers to doing this work? She re-emphasized how this shows up in the context of Puerto Rico.
I would say that to do work, anti-racist work in a country that denies racism, that's a huge setback. We have received critiques about the work we have done around the census and with the racial categories, because why are we talking about race, you know? And third, the sustainability. For 30 years, it's not easy to sustain and grow. And we have done so. So we're great, but we already know that.
Something that came up in this conversation, you said earlier on that you notice that there's generational differences. And the generational differences are showing up in, you know, the schools that you work in, noticing that people are young and they're saying that they're proud of their hair, right? So can you talk a little bit about your work's impact when we're seeing the differences between generations?
I think that we in Colectivo ILE, we strongly believe in the intergenerational work. We understand that all that we are doing right now is because there were people that set the path for us to do it. So for us, it's important to understand that, but also to recognize that in our work and also in our processes That's because our processes are not set by just one generation or just a specific age. Because to our workshops, there is a lot of people that can come and we don't have like an age range or something. Because we understand that the wisdom comes in bodies that has 70 years or that has 10 years. And also we understand that the ancestry and also the people that who are not with us today are important too. And that's why we do some altars in our processes with the photos of the people that we recognize that they are with us in their souls, just to recognize that we are here because of them. And one thing that I think is one of my mottos, and I always share that with Maida and also in the workshop, is that I don't want to pass trauma anymore. And I think that's my calling here. And also because I recognize that the things that I'm doing today is gonna have an impact 7 generations after. And that's an understanding that we also have to practice as an anti-racist practice. I think that's a gift that we can receive, but also that's a gift that we can give to the future generations.
Kimberly mentioned some of the topics of the workshops, the community workshops that Collective Relay does to center this conversation on anti-racism in Puerto Rico.
That's why we have some workshops and processes that talks about hair, that talks about the head wraps, that talks about our ancestral images who are glorious, who are intelligent, who are strategic, who are beautiful, and more than the histories that we learn in school. I think that's also a place to connect with our own families, to hear the histories of our grandmas, to hear the histories of our mothers. I think we use our processes towards that all the time. We love that. And also Mayra said something before that the processes that we do, like for the outside, we also keep it inside. We have something that is called parallel processes. And that is that we also talk among ourselves of our histories, our loves, our hates, our pains and processes together. I think that's something that, at least for me, that's something that I would like to pass to all the people that I am around, you know, also the future generations, to feel able to talk about what hurts me in a safe space. And that's something that we're practicing right now. It has been our days, like really good days that we are like ending crying, but also all of those days are learning days, you know, and I think that's something that we can do like outside too. People can recognize as a different way to do things other than the European way.
Kimberly talked about what is the larger picture when we're talking about what Colectivo ILE is doing in communities. And it is challenging not only people's perspectives, but also the way that they have been living their lives.
I'm connecting that with what Maida says, that we want to see other ways of living, you know, and other ways of living is just processing also the emotional part, not just the reasoning, just also the emotional part that we have and how we need to like and love each other to work together every day. Our relationship needs to be built up. It's not just like I take because I have this work to do with you. I need to love you, to enjoy my love, to enjoy our love, and to enjoy our work at the end of the day. I need to know who you are. I need to know what you like. I need to know what should I address in myself in order for you to be comfortable with me, you know? And that's something that we are working right now. I mean, we've been like almost 1.5 years doing that intentionally every month, and it's been beautiful. We've been singing together, dancing together, playing bomba together, doing our stuff with love and also with a lot of intention of being a family, not just a workplace.
She also mentioned how the focus on building community, the focus on building relationships is something that Colectivo ILE prioritizes. But also for people that work for Colectivo ILE, this focus on building community and knowing the people that you work with and knowing the community that you work with on a deeper level. This has been extended to other relationships outside of just their workplace.
I'm bringing this because I will say, with no fear of being wrong, that's extensive to our families too, and to our friends. And it's like a good virus. And I think we are doing that. And also that's something that we put it as a principle of our work. So we need to do it from the inside too. And that's a really good way of connecting with other generations and also to have not too affordable conversations with people that we love to. We've been receiving a really good training on how to talk with people, reducing our violence, maybe in the way we talk, or just learning how to love better, you know? I think we've been building something beautiful inside us that has been expensive to others.
I love to ask people at the end of the interview if there was a question that I should have asked that I didn't ask. And I love how Maida, as well as Kimberly, responded to this question. They talked about their own podcast, which you definitely should check out, called Negatus Podcast.
There's this question that we ask other women frequently. What are your dreams? Because as Kimberly says, this is a labor of love, and it takes all of us to have that anti-racist future. It takes all of us, white, black, young, kids, older people, all of us. So we are almost obsessed about talking about dreams because that's a way to manifest that anti-racist future. I'll answer, what is my dream? I have a dream of my daughter growing up and living a prosperous, safe, happy, fulfilling life. And that's for my girl and all the girls in Puerto Rico, because all the girls in Puerto Rico are our girls. So that's what I dream. We have a terrible trend of feminicides, and being a mother of a girl, it's hard because one always is imagining those terrible scenarios for your daughter. And I want to dream that for Bianca, which is my girl, and to all the girls and boys in Puerto Rico and beyond, to have safe, fulfilling, and happy life. What's your dream, Kimberly?
I don't know what to say after that. I love your dream too. I think we as Puerto Rican, and to be really honest, we are tired. I think we are tired. And I think my dream is to be able to rest from this constant war, to be just normal people, you know? So I think that my dream is to be able to rest, to be genuinely happy and fulfill as my essence, but to rest, just to be happy here on the beach with the palms and a piña colada.
Muchísimas gracias. And in Garifuna Sereme, Mayra y Kimberly, thank you to Maida and Kimberly for really gracing us with your wisdom and sharing the beautiful work that you do in Puerto Rico and its impact on not only on Puerto Rico, but on Latin America, as well as the rest of the United States and the Caribbean. Thank you so much. You can follow Colectivo ILE at colectivoile.org. Again, colectivoile.org. And you can spell that colectivoile.org. And I'm also going to put this in the show notes. Please also stay tuned for their podcast called Negras. They also have some fabulous episodes. Check that out. Thank you so much for listening. We would love to hear from you about this episode. Was there anything that you learned? Was there anything that you already knew or anything that surprised you? We will love to hear about that in our Facebook group, Labyrinth of the First Gen. And that link will also be in the show notes as well. As always, I announced that Labyrinth of the First Gen will be doing a virtual event. We're going to talk more about that, hopefully to come in December. Thank you so much for listening. Have a great rest of your day. Sereme, and see you later.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.